Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Wednesday night Grudge Talk Power Hour with myself, Tony Rayford. That time of year, man, we're getting all this rain. It's real hard to do a lot of racing, no matter where you go, especially in the South. Anyhow, we did have a real good Ronnie Brown race this weekend. Was real good. We're gonna talk about that a little bit. We're gonna have Ernie. I'm gonna get Ernie in here in a few minutes. I want to get my sponsors out of the way first, and we're gonna talk about the SmackDown 3 coming up. We got a couple of races coming up in Orlando, and PBIR, they got a little race going on down there as well. But let me get these sponsors out of the way. You know, I got to get a shout-out to Mr. Richard Spann, Christine Racing, Haines City, Florida. You know, they taking care of us on this show, you know, providing us what we need and allowing me to get the word out about whatever's going on in the grudge world. And you know, we can learn some things at the same time. So I want to give a shout-out to him, Richard Spann, Christine Racing. He's coming out real soon with his brand-new grudge car. Okay. And also I got to give a shout-out to Florida Diesel Repair, 1602 South 50th Street, Tampa, Florida, 33619. You can hit them up, 813-248-8377. Ask for Joe. That's 813-248-8377. Ask for Joe. And, you know, anything you got diesel related, tractor trailer, inspections, pickup trucks, generators, turbos, whatever your diesel needs are, you know, they can handle that. Just tell them I told you to call. And last but not least, you got Stanley Albritton Jr., SAJ Racing Engine out of Bradenton, Florida. You know, Stanley doing it all. He's driving, tuning, building engines and transmissions, rear ends. You know, he even advising. So, you know, I mean, if you need, you're in the Central Florida area, he's right here. You're in the Central Florida area, you need something, you don't know where to go, you can call him. I guarantee you, if he can't take care of it for you, he can probably send you somewhere, get it taken care of for you. But 9 times out of 10, he always gonna take care of it if you come to him with that. But I'm gonna work on getting Ernie on the phone here. Hey, 4142. Your mic is open. You there?
Yeah.
Hey, do me a favor, Richard, and go ahead and talk about SmackDown for about a minute. Let me get Ernie on the phone.
Oh, okay, no problem. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and talk about SmackDown 3 coming in Lakeland on August the 22nd. We got about 5 or 6 lock-in races. We're having a 28-29 shootout, $100 entry fee, $1,500 guarantee to the winner. We're also having a open cup class. $50 entry fee, $700 to the winner, $200 to the runner-up, and $100 to the semi. We also have a last man standing, beer your own pot, $100 to get in. If we get over 6 cars, I'm going to go ahead and put $400 on top of it. So if we get 6 cars, that's $1,000 to the winner of the last man standing. And also, a lot of guys have been talking about having a 590 class. If we can get at least 8 cars in it at $50 entry fee, I'll go ahead and put $200 on top of that also. So you guys that wanted to run the 590 class haven't got too much feedback on it yet. But if we can get 8 cars to get in that class, we'll go ahead and put some money on top of that class also. We also have a test and tune that night, $10 to test your car, so come on out. Kids 10 and under is free. And also, like I said, we're having a grudge race going on also. We already got at least 3 grudge races locked in to run by 6:30. So it will get started early with the grudge races. But the gate's not going to open up till 4, and we'll start test running, probably test run about 5 o'clock, and get all the shootouts started around about 7 to 7:30.
Hey, Richard, I got a question. You say you ain't had too much feedback on the 590. You got any people that's talking to you about it?
Well, I had Dave Pack was one of them. He was thinking about doing it. I think Stanley may drive somebody's car and get in it. Then a guy from, he was the main one. I think it's Mel or Melvin. I think he's from the Winter Haven or Armadale area. He was one of the main ones that kept giving back. He didn't want thought about having the class, so.
Okay.
So them about the,
okay,
only
well,
had about 3 people, really.
Okay, well, you know, you can add me to that. We can say 4. But I got Ernie on the line, ladies and gentlemen. CompuCar Nitro Systems, the owner of CompuCar Nitro Systems. This guy knows everything about racing, everything about a race car. Hey, whatever situation you have, I guarantee you he got an answer for you. So we brought Ernie on today to talk about fuel storage and or applications, you know, because that's very important with a lot of these new guys that are coming out, you know, trying to get their cars dialed in and figure out the ins and outs. You know, a lot of times we all don't think about what fuel. So we got how to store your fuel. So we got Ernie on the phone. Ernie, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hey, guys. This is Ernie with CompuCar Nitrous Oxide Systems. And we do the Monday night Ask Ernie Tech Talk show at 6 o'clock Eastern. And it's an open forum, one-hour show. Call in, and whatever your problem is, tuning problems, suspension, it doesn't matter. Ask me, and I'll try to help you with it every way I can. If I can't answer the question, I'll call the manufacturers and get them on the line with you, or I'll have the manufacturer call you direct. And we've had on our show MSD, VP Fuels, Renegade Fuels, Mincer Motorsports, God dang, Racepack Computers, Mickey Thompson Tires, and just on and on and on. Being the CEO of CompuCar Nitro Systems, it gives me the ability to go to these other manufacturers and say, the racers want to know about your product. They want to know how to tune your product. Will you come on and talk to us? And yeah, like I say, my show's an hour long. Sometimes it's an hour and a half. We've got a show coming up. We're putting together now with JD with MSD on the grid system, and we're tying that in with Todd Payton with Racepack Computers on interconnecting that with the Sportsman Series computers. And that is going to be, like I told them, I said, this is going to be one of those situations that we're going to start at 6, and we're going to just go for however many days y'all want to have it till we get all the information out of them. And so I expect some really good questions on that, a lot of good information.
Okay.
And, you know,
all right.
One thing about CompuCar Nitro Systems, we've been in business for 45 years. We're the oldest nitrous company around. So if it's happened, we've been there. We've designed it. We've fixed it. I have driven about everything that goes fast. I don't drive race boats, so I haven't done that. Don't want to do that. You can drown in them damn things. But, you know, CompuCar Nitro Systems, we've got something that will fit any application, where it's a sportsman car, a grudge racer, pro mod, top fuel. It doesn't matter. We can make it faster. And we have a lifetime warranty on our equipment. So if you buy it, it's not something that you have to worry about what happens if a solenoid goes bad. If a solenoid goes bad, you send it in to me. We'll repair it, replace it, and send it back to you. And it doesn't matter.
Well, Ernie, yeah. what if that solenoid is like 5 years old?
It doesn't matter if it's 35 years old. If you bought it new, used, a swap meet, a yard sale, picked it up at a you pull it, it's under warranty. If it exists, it's under warranty. So, you know, we don't sell, people say, well, you know, can you, how much does a rebuild kit cost? We don't have a rebuild kit. We don't even have a listing for a rebuild kit. It's under warranty. All you do is it's $20 for return freight and handling, and it's under warranty. So, and it's a no BS warranty. It's, we take care of it.
Okay. Well, that, well, that's Ernie, y'all. But Ernie, okay, I'm gonna tell my little story. Why I got you on the phone. I mean, how I come about getting you on the phone. You know, I, about a week ago, I was changing the fuel in my car, or actually draining the fuel out of my car. That fuel's been in my car ever since May 2nd. That was the last time I took it out, smacked down to. And it got to smelling funny, you know, so called Ernie up, you know, to ask him about it. And he started asking me some questions and, you know, telling me about how long, you know, giving me an estimated time of shelf life, because I know I'm not the only one. I know I ain't the only one. A lot of us leave our fuel in the car. We were leaving in the car, or just a little bit in the car, for months at a time, you know. And maybe then, you know, right before we get ready to go race, then, you know, drain it out, put new fuel in it. But that's why I brought Ernie on tonight, because that's going to help. That, I think, the more we know about how to care for our cars, the longer they'll live, the less problems we'll have. So, Ernie, with that being said, how long, like if I go racing today, if I buy a fresh 5-gallon can of fuel and I go racing today, how long could I leave that fuel in my car before it starts causing problems in the carburetor or changing, or what happens to the fuel, you know, as it's sitting?
Well, one good thing you said there, you're buying it in a 5-gallon pail. Now, the reason why you want to buy fuel in a 5-gallon pail is that majority of drag racers are not going to use 55 gallons of fuel. If you go somewhere to buy fuel and they're pumping it out of a 55-gallon drum, the first thing you don't know is what's the quality of that fuel. Yeah, they can say that it's brand new, we just broke the seal on it. You don't know that. There's been a lot of instances where people have been caught cutting racing fuel. You know, they're the almighty dollar that they might make on a gallon, is they figure that to them is worth more than your $40,000 motor.
Wait, you say there's been incidences where people have been caught cutting fuel? You know, I mean, like cutting it with what? Like regular gas? What are they doing?
Cutting it with regular gasoline. Regular gasoline.
Wow.
So you don't know if you're getting C16, C14, or cut fuel, or are they just pumping 93 octane? You know, they say, well, it's blue. Okay. Well, you know, I can take 55 gallons of gasoline and put about 3 or 4 gallons of racing fuel in it, and all of a sudden the whole thing is blue. So the color's not telling you anything. A 5-gallon pail, when you buy it, you want to see the seal pushed down and tight. You want to be the one that breaks the seal. You know the quality of that because it's from the manufacturer. If it's a 116 Renegade fuel, VP fuels, you know that's exactly what it is. And when you're tuning your car, changes in the fuel make a drastic change. You know, you base your fuels on your compression ratio, your cubic inch, how much nitrous you're putting in it. So if your car is requiring 116 octane because you're under your up to 13.5 to 1, 500 cubic inches or below, and you're running mild nitrous. All right. If you don't have that octane,
well, what's mild nitrous, Ernie? I mean, what is that? What's mild nitrous? I mean,
500 cubic inches, 350 horsepower.
Okay. Okay.
Smaller cubic inches, C16 is good up in, you know, 275, 300. If you're going to get into the 350s or the multi-stages where you're running a lot of nitrous and high compression, 14-plus, then you definitely got to have the 16. If you're going 14.5 up with, say, a lot of nitrous, then we need to be on the nitrous blend stuff, the 123 octane, something like that. But now, don't be stuck on the octane numbers. And that's one of the biggest problems that we see with people. They'll go out there and start running these Q fuels, the oxygenated fuels. An oxygenated fuel is a fuel that, okay, it's I think it's called Q16. Uh-huh. It's designed for a normally aspirated high compression motor.
Hey, Ernie, wait a minute, Ernie. Before you go into that, before you describe the Q16, can we go back to the question that I just asked you, like what happens to the fuel when you leave it in?
Okay.
I mean, and how long can you leave it in there? Can we go back to that real quick?
Oh, yeah, not a problem. That's the problem. I get into one thing that leads to another that leads to something else that leads to something else.
It's all right.
When you open a jug, a can of racing fuel, it's fresh. When you put it in your fuel tank or your fuel cell, the immediate time you put it in there, put your cap back on your fuel jug. Do not let it set open. Because as soon as you're pouring it into your tank, once you smell the racing fuel, what you're smelling is the vapors coming off the fuel. That is the chemicals that are used to make to build that fuel are starting to leach out and expand and evaporate. So you always want to close your fuel jug as soon as you can. Now, when it's in your car, it's open to the atmosphere. Your fuel cell is ventilated, so it's going to bleed this pressure off. After about 2 weeks in a fuel cell, that fuel should be drained out and used in your lawnmower or something else. Don't run it in your race car. Now, you can get by with it if you're running a low-compression street motor, but I would not go over 3 to 4 weeks. After 3 to 4 weeks, the fuel has started decomposition factor, and you don't know what's left in it. At that point, it's just waste fuel. So keep your fuel jug sealed. The reason why you want to keep it sealed is because as the fuel gets hot, it expands. And we've probably all heard 55-gallon drums pop. Well, they're popping because they're building up with pressure. That pressure is caused by the chemicals in the fuel bleeding off and trying to get to the atmosphere. They can't, so they build up pressure. Well, as that drum gets cold, that pressure goes away, and it actually builds a vacuum into it, and it wants to suck the atmosphere into it. So now you're getting moisture, dust, everything else into your fuels. So always keep your fuel sealed. Like I say, never buy more than 5 gallons at a time. That way you're always got fresh fuel. If you're storing fuel, even on your 5 gallon pail, never set it on a concrete floor. Always put it a couple of 2x4s or something and let it set on those 2x4s. Or you can just balance it on 1 2x4, whatever. But don't let it set flat on the floor. If it sets flat on the floor, then it starts wanting to condense moisture inside the can itself because as the floor's cold, it starts reacting to the fuel, and you can get water trapped inside the container itself and get rust and decomposition of the fuels.
Okay. Hey, Ernie, let me say this real quick. Okay, guys, we got 10 more minutes of Ernie. Ernie's only going to be on here for 30 minutes. So if you guys got any questions for him, hit the 1 button so we can get the questions out of the way. We got 10 more minutes of Ernie, so. Ernie, let's go back to that. You were getting ready to talk about the Q16 fuel and the application for that. You go ahead.
Look,
continue.
Your Q16 is designed for a high compression motor that is normally aspirated or using light amounts of nitrous.
Okay, what's high compression? What's high compression? How much compression
let's go
is 14, high?
Let's go 14.5 to 1 type motors. And where we get enough oxygen in the motor. And so that you're and okay, now that's we gotta back up. What is oxygenated fuel? Oxygenated fuel is your fuel that has another chemical added into it that burns at a faster rate that produces an oxygen source. Similar to adding nitrous to your motor. So if you're running a normally aspirated car and not nitrous and you go to an oxygenated fuel, jetted properly, it will probably produce a little more horsepower. In nitrous oxide application.
Well, hey, Ernie, hold on a second. Now, if you do that, because I've heard stories of people that put the Q16 in their car after running like 116, C16 or something, and the carburetors it don't want to idle or something like that. I mean, is there a fix for that other than just resetting the jets in the carburetor, or how do you handle that?
Well, every fuel is rated by specific gravity. Specific gravity is the weight of the fuel, the density of the fuel. It's a kind of a, okay, I'm going to get semi-technical, the viscosity, which is the thickness of the fuel. That being that a fuel that's got a specific gravity of 690, we're going to say that's water. A nitrous fuel that's got a specific gravity of 730 to 740 is transmission fluid. A higher specific gravity than that would be like nitromethane. It's like molasses. So the fuel thickness changes. But we don't want to, here again, we don't want to get hung on octane ratings. Everybody says octane. It's 116 octane. It's 120. Octane rating is really something you don't even want to look at. You have to look at the other things that are in the fuel that what it's designed for. A nitrous fuel has different additives in it to slow the burn of the fuel so that you will not get detonation. Because since you're putting more oxygen in it, we want the fuel to be a little bit slower burning so we can get all this oxygen in there and light it and then get the compression stroke going. If it burns too fast, then we get detonation. So your fuels are slower. Now, another problem that you have, since we're talking about when in fuels and everything else, one of the biggest problems we see on tune-ups of cars that are running nitrous is the jets in the carburetor are way too big. You know, if you're running a normally aspirated motor, you may run a big jet. Let's say, for example, a 632. A 632, normally aspirated, is going to run about a 94 jet in the carburetor, 92 to 94. That same motor running nitrous needs 82 jets in it. Now, the reason why we need a smaller jet is because we're putting nitrous in the motor. As we're putting nitrous in the motor, we're creating a high-pressure area at the plate or the nozzles. It's blowing into the intake runners. Well, that high-pressure area creates a vacuum behind it. And now all of a sudden, this jet that's a 90 wants to be 110 because it's sucking it through it. So we've got to throttle back on the fuel in the carburetor, and then we want the nitrous jetted properly. A proper jetting arrangement on your nitrous system is going to be a 4-6 jet spread at 5.5 pounds of fuel pressure, 950 pounds of bottle pressure, and then pull out the timing that's needed for your combination. If you're running a bigger jet spread than that or lower fuel pressures, that's telling us that the carburetor jets are too big. If the carburetor jets are too big, what happens is as that fuel is pulled through the carburetor, it no longer comes out vaporized or atomized. It comes out in a stream, like a hose pipe. Well, when it hits the nitrous, it goes out against the plenum area, sticks to the walls, and runs down the intake like a little stream. Well, those streams get together, becomes a creek, and that creek goes back and falls into a cylinder, and all of a sudden, you've pinched your ring lens because we've got too much fuel going into it. It never gets back into the airflow. You get the carburetor. You always do your – you got to go the application you're doing. We're drag racing. All right, we got to start at the carburetor and then work down the motor, get the tune-up proper all the way down, phase your distributor. I can get into that if you want me to, but
we ain't gonna have enough time for that one. But you know that the phasing, we might have to schedule that for another one, Ernie. But that's real important too. Now, as you're talking about this fuel, you gave me a good medium nitrous application of 350. So if you're running smaller than 500 cubic inches or around 500 cubic inches and a 350 shot, what type of fuel would you use for that?
Yeah, we would want a C16. Anything above that, we're going to go to 120 octane on the nitrous blends.
Okay, 120 octane on the nitrous blend.
Yeah, I think Renegade calls it 120. VP calls it 123. They have the same basic components. So, like I say, don't get hung up on the octane rating. Go by the application of what you need.
Now, is one heavier than the other? Is that what that is?
Yes. The 120, your nitrous blend, is a slow-burning, heavier fuel.
Okay.
So that's designed for that high compression, a lot of nitrous. We're going to ignite it in the cylinder and let it burn slow and then build our pressure off of that.
Okay. All right, guys. Hey, y'all got any questions for Ernie? We only got him for a couple of more minutes. You know, go ahead, hit the one button. You know, any questions? There are no dumb questions. So, you know, whatever you have, you know.
Well, that shows you do listen to the show. Because, guys, like he said, there are no dumb questions. The only dumb question out there is the one you don't ask.
The one you don't ask, that's right.
You know, I talk to people all day long, and usually I have to dig some questions out of them, and then finally they'll ask the question. You know, I talk to people thousands a year and give out information. So a lot of times I might overlook some things. So if ask the question, you know, that's the way you learn. And my job is to make your job easier. If you can go out there and race, make good horsepower, and not hurt your equipment, hey, that's what it's about. You don't have to have all the dog and pony show.
Hey, Ernie, we got a hand up here. Hold on a second. 352-5168.
Hello, Ernie.
Who we got?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Ernie, hey, this is Nitrous Mike from Scumbag Inc. I got a question for you. I hear you talking about the different brands of fuel, and I was always curious. Is Renegade any good, Sunoco, or the VP? Do you have a favorite, or is there something I should watch out for? We run the same type of setup. We got a couple cars, but we run the same type of setup that Tony was just talking about. Say you got 500 inches, and you're spraying it with maybe 350 shots. What should we run?
Well, I've run, like I say, about everything you can raise. And I ran VP fuels pretty solid up to about the last 3 or 4 years. And I got to looking around and ran into some Renegade stuff. I started doing background on it and talking to the manufacturer. I got some samples. I did the testing on it, and we did the testing in one of our 706s.
Okay.
We did a side-by-side comparison the exact same day, made a pass with the 23, the C16, the VP fuel, came back, drained it, drained the carburetors, put in the Renegade fuel with the Renegade nitrous blend, went out there and ran the exact same number, about 1 mile an hour faster, but I'm not going to say that the fuel did that. It could have been track
right.
conditions. The spark plugs looked better. Absolutely no problems at all. We didn't change any of the tune-up. The difference is, on the top-end grades of the fuel, it could be as much as $5 a gallon cheaper.
Yep.
So,
there you go.
And that's when you start looking at, well, why is it less expensive? Well, VP spends millions of dollars on the advertisement. Renegade doesn't. Renegade says we should give it to the racer, let them save the money, and then go out there and enjoy what you're doing. Save money. That's what it's all about.
Hey, Ernie.
And,
okay.
Yeah.
I don't want to. I didn't mean to cut y'all, but we had Mark, but Mickey, nice and Mickey. You know, you can call Ernie. Ernie will talk to you the same way, and trust me, I've done it a couple times. You can call Ernie, and you know, you go over your combination with him. I know you don't want to give it out here, but you go over your combination with him, and he'll help you. So, 1-800-NITROUS is the number to get in touch with Ernie. And Ernie, at the same on that note, I think the only VP dealer, not VP, I'm sorry, but Renegade dealer that I know of here is in Orlando is Richard. Richard, you still on the line? Richard Spann? Well, anyway, I think that's Renegade is in Orlando. And I might have to get with you to see where there are any other dealers at around here for the Renegade.
Well,
too,
well, what we can do here, let's see. Tennessee, it's Ford's Fuel. Ford's Fuel, okay. All right, guys. Here's the phone number you want to call for a distributor near you, or if you want to be a distributor for Renegade Fuels, or if they just want to buy it, they'll ship it to you. This is Ford's Fuel Service. The gentleman's name is Tim, T-I-M. His cell phone number, we're going to get him here so he can't get away from his cell phone number, is 843-283-8100. So when you get him on there, you know, tell him that you heard me talking about it, you want to know more about it. They have all grades of fuel. They have racing oils, anything you need from round track to drag race to land speed records fuels. They've got it. They can supply it. Put you in touch with somebody, however it is, to get you what you need.
Okay. Ernie, I appreciate you. Oh, first, Nitrous Mickey, you still there?
Yeah.
Did Ernie answer your question? You got something else you wanted to ask him, or are you done for right now?
I'm good right now. I had a lot of questions, but I didn't think about the stuff before I got them. You know what I mean? I'd like to pick his brain tomorrow.
Right. Oh yeah,
well, Mickey,
you can call
it. Well, Mickey, do me a favor. How about giving me a call tomorrow? And you know. Since you're Nitrous Mickey, you need to be handling our equipment. So give me a call tomorrow, and we'll get you set up so that you can be direct with us. And
okay,
1-800-NITROUS. That's 1-800-648-7687. 1-800-NITROUS.
Ernie, you know you got to do that three times, right?
Oh, you got to do it at least three times. Professional always does it at least three times. So we're going to do it in our best professional radio voice. That's 1-800-NITROUS, 1-800-648-7687. CompuCar Nitrous Systems, buy the best, buy it one time. You need tech, give me a call. You need a part piece, give me a call. You need a complete system, we build them, we sell them. We'll repair what you got. We'll help you tune what you got. You know, my deal is, it's not about me. It's about you. If we can keep your equipment running and you don't break down, you're going to make money. And never
right.
get your tune-up on the ragged edge. I know we can always squeeze another tenth of a second, maybe. We can get a little bit more if we just drop the fuel pressure or raise the nitrous jet. Let me tell you the biggest secret in racing. If you've got a 250-horsepower nitrous system that's running really good and ain't hurting parts, if you take that same jet combination, instead of trying to squeeze it to get the last little bitty horsepower out of it, why don't you just stop and say, look, for $20 I can get another set of jets that makes 50 horsepower more. Pull out those jets, put in the 50-horsepower more jets, and now you got a safe horsepower system that ain't that's still on the safe edge that you're not squeezing.
Okay.
Never try it. When you squeeze your motor is ignorant. It doesn't have a brain. It's going to tell you what it wants. If you argue with it, it's like a woman. You're going to lose. So it says I want more fuel or I want a little less fuel, and you go, take this, and you force it another half a pound of fuel. When it throws up, it's going to cost you money. Always keep your tune-up on the safe side, and then when you want to go up to more power, you just change the jets. You don't have to buy a $3,000 carburetor. I had a guy today was fixing to buy a $3,000 carburetor, one of those new slide Mikuni-type carburetors, $3,000. Guy told him to make him 20 more horsepower, guaranteed. He said, what do you think about that, Ernie? I said, well, I'll tell you what, for $20, I'll guarantee you another 100 horsepower, and you'll have $2,980 left in your pocket. You know, don't believe everything you read, and if you're trying to buy a product because it's going to guarantee you 10 more horsepower, a set of jets, $20, will give you a whole lot more horsepower than it will. And I really hate people in other companies that take advantage of racers by trying to sell them all this high-dollar stuff. You know, I had one on a show one night. They said, well, if a single four-barrel is as fast as 2.4s in the eighth mile, why do they sell sheet metal intakes with 2.4s on them? That's a fair question.
Yeah.
You know, the honest answer is because the engine builder is making $7,500 more on your butt. If your motor needs 1,200 CFM, it doesn't matter if it's in one carburetor, two carburetors, or a dozen. It's only going to use 1,200 CFM. We've had companies say, well, our 300 horsepower jets produce more power than their 300 horsepower jets. Really? What weighs more? A pound of...
Hello, who's it? Tony.
Hey. Hello.
I'm not on the
queue.
Hello?
Hello?
Thank you. about your bling, bling, bling?
Hello?
Yeah.
I think the show's on freeze. What happened?
Oh, I'm hanging in there.
Hello. Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
What's going on, man?
Hello. Hey, you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, hold on a second. Hello, you hear me?
Yeah.
Hey, this is Mr. Tip, man. How y'all doing?
Pretty good. Guess how's your show going?
All right, it was going all right, but something happened there. I don't know if the toilet, he dropped off or something. So, I don't know if he's going to call back in here or what. He needs to try to call back in.
He said he was. I just got off the phone with him.
Okay, all right. So, how you doing, Mike?
Doing pretty good, brother. What about you?
All right, man, all right. Try to dodge this rain, that's all.
Yeah, I hope it holds off Friday.
Yeah, yeah. How's that new baby doing?
She's doing good, growing like a weed.
What you doing? I don't know how we were able to talk to each other like this, but... Anyway.
How's your son doing, Tip?
He's doing pretty good, man. He's doing pretty good. Thanks for asking, man. Yeah, he's doing pretty good, you know. Best he can, anyhow. Yeah. Did you go up to Ronnie Brown race?
No, I had to work Saturday.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You going to Orlando Friday?
No, I'm not going over Friday. I don't get home till 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening, Mike.
I got you.
Yeah, who else is on here?
Hello?
Hi. Hey, Richard. How you doing, Richard?
Just
hey, what's going on?
Sorry, man. Wait for Tony to call back in.
Yeah, I got the phone. He's trying to fix it.
What's going on?
I'm not sure. He probably needs to get
in chocolate.
I don't know if he can cancel and call back in or not.
No, all he can do, if his phone dropped off, all he had to do is just call back in.
He told me that Blog Talk knocked him off. He said it did it on Dog Show yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Y'all ready for Friday night, Mike?
Yeah. We're going to bring both sets of tires and whatever it runs fastest on. I guess we'll keep it on. We got a set of radials and a set of slicks.
Hey, just have it so it go down the track. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
That's all. Point A to point B. That's all we need.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, Richard, how was that show?
It was pretty good. Hey, I'm going to have to go on mute for a while. I'm in the restaurant. But it was a good show.
What?
All right.
I'll get it, man. I'll be on there, but I'm just coming in and out. All
right.
Sit down. So you get this.
Babe.
Hey, who else is on here? Was Mike beside me and you?
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
How did we get in on this?
Huh?
How did we get in on this conversation? I didn't think that we could get in.
Me either. That's what I was.
Tony said he was going to open up everybody's mic so they could talk.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. I was wondering the same thing. How did that happen?
Oh.
Yeah.
Mike,
Who was that, Mike?
That's Ricky's dad, Big Rick.
Oh, hey, man, how you doing?
Not doing all right, buddy.
Yeah, trying, man.
Trying to serve some shit.
Oh, I didn't know you called into the show.
Yeah, I've been calling for a little while.
Are you calling for my show, too?
No, I didn't know you had a show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's on Thursday night. It's tomorrow night.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, how they coming with Tyrone?
Do what?
How they coming on Tyrone?
They're doing good. They about got the cage done. They got the roll bar done. They got the torque boxes all welded up and reinforced. And Casey's almost finished wiring the car. It's running now, so they're getting real close to being done on it.
Well, they plan on having it out there today, right?
He said he's going to try to have it the 8th, but if not, it's going to be there for Richard's race.
Oh, okay.
Y'all going to have the Mustang there or the truck there or what?
The truck probably won't be there. I'm off ride all weekend, so I'm going to get the motor in the truck. I doubt I'll have it done.
Hurry up and get it done so I can drive it in a 28 tire shootout.
I don't even know if we're going to have the Mustang out there. We got to get that nitrous issue straightened out.
Yeah.
Matt. The man was on here and they could help you.
Yeah, I don't run his stuff, though.
Yeah, but he knows what tell you what to do with it.
He save all that stuff for me.
We're thinking about just taking an intake off and send it back to Steve Johnson and let him go to it.
Hey, Ricky, you ought to take it out one more time and try one of our bottles that don't have moisture in it, maybe.
Well, see, I thought you just kept the bottles, and they wasn't have moisture to come out of them, you know. I picked
yeah,
three of our
probably,
bottles.
Yeah, probably some in there you can't see, you know.
Well, with the moisture that was in Cameron's bottle, you could really see it, I think. I don't know. I definitely ain't going to run until I get it fixed.
Don't throw it away.
I don't want to be putting the fist if I ain't got to.
I heard that. That's why I'm down right now.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just